2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom.
Now here St. Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what he is charging him, what he's saying to him, he's saying that God is going to judge the people. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? That means he said when he's coming, he will judge some people and he will judge the people in his kingdom. 1,000 years kingdom finish, there will be a great white throne judgment. So some people may not know what happens when Jesus Christ comes. That's why some people are afraid. They do not want Jesus Christ coming. When they hear this word, when dead or alive, when he's coming, he's going to judge those people. So that's why some people do not want Jesus Christ coming, because he's coming to judge the people. Let's read Book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. There he says, it is appointed once man to die, after that a judgment. That means judgment is sure. Not a single person will escape the judgment. That's why some people are saying, then you know, who will stand before God? Our God is a holy God. And not a single person can say, how God is going to judge me if I never heard the word of God. Book of Romans chapter 2, it says there are three kinds of people in the world. One kind of people, they were under the law, so they know what the law is. Second kind of people, they heard the gospel. And the third kind of people, they never heard the gospel. In jungle or somewhere, they never heard it. Now somebody will say, the people never heard the gospel. How God is going to judge them? Now the people who has the law, they will judge by law. People who heard the gospel, they will be judged by the gospel. The people who never heard the gospel, didn't have the law, how they will be judged? The word of God said they will judge by their conscience. So each and every person has the conscience. The Adam committed sin when he ate the forbidden fruit. He said, you will have the knowledge of good and evil. From that day until today, each and every person who is born again or not born again, Christian or not Christian, they have the conscience. And the conscience will tell you what is good and what is bad. In the judgment day, the God will ask the person, why did you do this? He has no answer because his conscience was telling him not to do it. And so each and every person's mouth will be shut. And when Jesus Christ is coming, he's coming very soon. Most of the prophecies are fulfilled. So he's coming as at the door. Revelation chapter 19, and start reading from verse 11.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Now here we read that someone is coming on the white horse. The name is not given, but you guessed it. That is Jesus Christ, coming with the saints or the armies of God. And the first thing he says, he will come and get hold of that Antichrist and the false prophet who is deceiving and who is going to deceive people in the time of tribulation, and tell them to take the marks on their hand or forehead and try to deceive people. Antichrist and the false prophet, the word of God says, will be arrested and put in the lake of fire. When it's happening, he says, when he's coming. When he comes, there's a battle, and the armies of God will defeat the armies of these worlds. And he says, all the birds of the air will come and eat their flesh. Some people don't know, oh, what kind of bird are those birds? Vultures, you never saw. They are vicious birds. They can eat your flesh and just keep the bones only. And it's not a one bird, maybe thousands and thousands of birds will be coming from around the world to eat the flesh of these enemies. And so here we see the judgment is given to Christ. Go to the St. John chapter 5. When you are listening to this judgment, sometimes we get scared. But if you read from verse 24, the judgment is not for you. The believers, there will be no judgment. But the people who are not believer, they rejected Christ and they don't want any part of Christ. Those are the people who will be judged.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
And each and every person will be judged. But thank God for the believers. If you are born again, child of God, and if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you ask the forgiveness for your sins, there is no condemnation. He says you pass from death unto life, and no condemnation. But it is not automatically. You have to confess your sins to God. When Jesus Christ comes, he says, he's appearing. When he comes, the enemies will be destroyed. 1,000 years of reign. We just heard in the book of Revelation chapter 19, he will rule the world with a rod of iron. not the rod like Moses had the wooden rod. This will be the rod of iron. When you say rod of iron, that means the sharp and harsh judgment. So even in the 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will be the judge. We will be kings with him, but he will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And there is no judgment like Christ's judgment in these 1,000 years. There will be no bribery. Nobody can cheat you. Jesus Christ will be the judge and the king. And he says he will judge you with a rod of iron. That is in 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years finish, the devil will be loose again. The 1,000 years he was chained with a chain, so he was not able to deceive anyone in the millennium kingdom. But after the millennium, the devil will be loose. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 20. Start reading from verse 10.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle.
Okay, now here let's see how the devil is. He was cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years with a chain. As soon as he is released, he's not thinking, well, I got my lesson. I was in prison for this many 1,000 years. Now I'm going to change. No. There are some people, they can go to prison for 20 years, come back and do the same thing or worse and go back into the prison. That is the nature of the devil. Devil is not going to change at all. Devil is doomed for eternity. God is gracious God. God gives chances to many people for many times. But the devil is the one kind of person, he doesn't want to change. And so what he does, goes back again and gather all the enemies of God or enemies of Israel to fight with God. What happens?
And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever.
Now, where is that devil who was deceiving people after the millennium? How many people he gathered together? The people like a sand of the sea. That means you cannot number them. That many people he gathered together to war with whom? He said, beloved city is Jerusalem. So he came against Jerusalem to destroy them. So what happens? The word of God said, fire came from heaven. So many people say, oh, there will be an atom bomb or neutron bomb or this bomb. God doesn't need any bombs. In the time of flood, water from the above, water from beneath came. The same way, God can consume this world within a second. There is no doubt in my mind that God is a powerful God. You cannot play game with God and show fist to God and say, I want to see what you can do. God is Almighty God. So he sends the fire and destroys the whole armies. And then the word of God says there is a judgment. Let's read a little bit further.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So where were these people? They cast into the lake of fire. First, Antichrist and false prophet. Then, devil and his followers. And then all the people who died from the time of Adam until the last day of the millennium kingdom. And all the people will be judged, and they will be cast in the lake of fire where there is no remedy. And that will be for what? Not one day, 2 days, for eternity, forever and ever and ever. That's why St. Paul is saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So the judgment is sure. So we have to be thank God that we are not in the judgment, because the judgment is past if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Go to the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Now he is telling to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now he says, Timothy, you should be ready all the time. Sometimes if you call one preacher and say, could you come and preach? He said, you should give me a notice, maybe a month notice or a year notice to prepare. But the man of God should be ready all the time. If I'm sleeping, wake me up in the middle of the night and said, I want to hear the message. Or could you come and preach for us? I will never say no. Because when I read this scripture, I thought to myself, this is not for Timothy alone. This is for each and every believer. You should be ready all the time to preach the gospel, or anyone ask the questions about the word of God or about your faith. You should not be scratching your head, but you should be telling them right away. In season or out of season, there is no time limit where you can preach. The word of God says we should not be having like a seasons from certain times. But the point I'm making, the man of God should be ready all the time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no season. All season, every time, day or night, winter or summer or rain, you should be able to preach the word of God. And so that's what he's saying. And then he's saying, when you're preaching, in your message, you should reprove people, rebuke sometimes. People do not want rebuke. When you tell these people, if you do something, God will do some punishment, or you should not be doing this, or you should not be doing that, people do not like to hear that. People like to hear very smooth saying words, or very nice words. They don't like to say, if you smoke or drink, God will punish you. They don't want to hear the word punishment. They don't want to hear the word hell. They don't want to hear the word judgment. And that's why some of the churches, they will not tell you about hell. They will not tell you about judgment. They will not tell you to repent of your sins. They will just tell you good things. He says in this book, this chapter when you read. And so he says, when you do that, with all long-suffering and doctrine, encourage people, tell if they are wrong, and try to improve their life. But how? With the long suffering and with the doctrine of Christ. Not say anything comes to your mind or your heart. See what the Bible teaches. Teach the people according to the word of God. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. What he says, for the time will come. Now, last week we learned the times will come. Now, here he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Is that time is already here? Yes. People do not want to hear the sound doctrine. That time is already here. So what kind of teacher they want? They want the teacher to teach them according to their lustful desire and say everything which is not harming to them. Or they don't want to hear anything that you have to correct your life. You can live the life as you want. And that's the kind of preaching or teaching they want to hear. And some, if you tell them strong the word of God or the doctrine of Christ, they have itching ears. What does it mean? They don't want to hear. Verse 4. And he says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Fables. They want fables. They don't want to learn the truth. Jesus Christ said, he shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. Free from all kinds of sin, sickness, disease, and all kinds of problems you're going through. If you know the truth, you are set free. But people do not want to be free. If they are smoking and tell them, would you like to give up smoking? Who are you to tell me what to do with my life? I heard the advertisement. The man was saying, we made one CD. How to give up your drinking habit. And he says, buy my CD or just call us and we'll give you free CD. And you listen to the steps we're telling you to give up the drinking habit. And he says, if you think this CD didn't help you, we will refund the money. It's a good stuff, right? How many people are going to buy that CD? Yeah, they don't want to know. Even though that man says, buy this CD, listen, and your life will change. And if it didn't help you, I'll give your money back. People will not go for that. So the word of God is saying, people want to hear the fables, the stories which are not true stories. Now there are gods and goddesses. It's not in the Bible. But people, they are worshipping God and goddesses and imaginary gods. They are not there. But they worship them. You can tell the mermaid story. They will listen to you. But they will not want to listen to the story of Christ. Jesus Christ came and died for you and rose again. And he is a living God. They don't want to hear. So they're saying they want to listen to the fables and the stories which are no meaning and made up stories. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Many people who are the pastors do not have time to work as an evangelist. The word of God says when you are a pastor, it's not only pastor's job doing the pastor's work. Pastors are also evangelists. What do evangelists do? They go out of your church. They meet people on the street. They preach the gospel to other people. Some pastors, they are busy with pastor's job. They don't have the time to do evangelism. But I do both. I do evangelism, I do pastor's job. That's why here he's saying, Timothy, you are the pastor now. But I'm telling you, do the work of evangelist. He says, you make full proof of thy ministry. This means people should not find fault in you. Your life should be pure and holy. When you're going and telling somebody about Jesus, when you're pointing your fingers to somebody, some fingers pointing to you. So that means you should be holy, you should be strong, you should be spiritually healthy, and completely without a fault before you go and teach somebody about Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. Now what is his offering? He says, I'm ready to give my life. He's ready. Now he finished his work. There are so many people do not want to give up this world and go to heaven. If somebody asks, would you like to go to heaven? Someday, when I'm old, they're not ready. So people do not want to go to heaven. But Paul says, I'm ready. People say, Lord, you call me, I'll go anywhere. When God calls you, not now. It's too early. Or he says, I want to go to and work as an evangelist. Okay, I will send you to Africa or send you to India. No, 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 no. Send me to Hawaii. Send me to Florida. Send me to some good places. Not the jungles of Africa or Indian jungles. I want to go to a better place. So many people want to come to America. When I was working in India and I was teaching, somebody said, hey, this is a foreign religion. I don't want to hear this. I said, sir, who told you this is a foreign religion? Oh, the British came here. The American came to tell us about Jesus. I said, sir, you got it wrong. It's not a British religion. It's not an American religion. It's an Asian religion. Jesus Christ was born in Asia. And so how can you tell me, don't tell me about Jesus Christ? Why I came to America? I did not come to America to make money. Most of the foreign ministers comes to America, they come to America to get money. And then gather the money and go back to their country. I did not come here to gather the money. Then I said, why did you come? I came here to preach the gospel around the world. It was not easy for me from India to preach the gospel around the world. I tried. I applied for Pakistan. They did not give me visa to go to Pakistan. So if they cannot give me visa to go to Pakistan, how can I go around the world? That's why I came to America. After coming, I went to Russia. I went to wherever I can and started the radio program around the world. It was not easy for me from there. Now, around the world radio program will cost you $140,000 or $150,000. Calculate that in Indian money. $1 is like a 50 rupees. Multiply 150,000 to 50 rupees. And then calculate how many ministers have that much money to go on radio in India. It's impossible. They cannot go to all around the world from India, even though they have millions of rupees. Pastor doesn't make millions of rupees in India. Indian pastors are telling me, give me $50 or $100 per month. We will feed our whole family and work for the Lord. How much? $100. And I'm saying the radio program, you need thousands of dollars. When I'm doing the program for 15 minutes program, $200 to $250 per 15 minutes. Can somebody do that program from India? No. So point I'm making, I came here to spread the gospel around the world. And God made it possible. And thank God for that. St. Paul saying, I am ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. So he's thinking, I'm going to die pretty soon. And so we should be living such a way that if I'm dying tomorrow, what I would do? Just think, somebody told you, you're going to die tomorrow. Do whatever you want to do today. What do you do? That's what we have to think. They have to do so many things. One man came to me, he said, doctor told me, I'm going to die within 15 days. What should I do? I said, what you are doing now? He said, I went to all the Hindu temple. I went to all Hindu gods. I tried everything. It's not working. If Jesus Christ can give me life, I said, you came to the right place. I prayed for him. I sent him to hospital for checkup. He was completely healed. Today that man is still alive. This I'm talking about almost 40 years ago. And that man is serving the Lord today. Point I'm making, the time is very short. Our life is very short. What we doing for God? St. Paul is saying, verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can we say like St. Paul? God has given us the word of God. When you give the word of God to somebody, today or tomorrow, they will change. Somebody says, it's so hard. I saw one man, I was walking with him and talking to him about Jesus. He said, show me your Jesus. I'm going to tie him to my bed and I'm going to shoot him. That's the kind of person you meet. Do you think that person will ever change? I said, sir, let me tell you, you will be in your bed dying. That's the time I'll come and ask you the question. Exactly happened. He was dying in his bed. He called for Pastor Peter. I went there and I said, sir, are you going to tie Jesus to your bed? Because you said, my bed, you never thought that you will be lying in your bed. So he said, no, I made a mistake. Can you pray in the name of Jesus so I can be healed? I prayed for him. God healed him. He got saved, baptized, became a Christian. So that's the fight we have to fight with the enemy. Give them the word of God. Give them Jesus Christ. Pray for them. And God will save those kind of people. So he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It is very difficult in this world to keep the Christian faith. Someone says, your neighbors will be your enemy. And so when you have all the neighbors and everybody around you and they try to pull you down, it's difficult to have a Christian faith. When the enemy hit the Twin Towers, everybody going to church. Everybody wants to pray. All the churches were full. We go to church in good time and bad time. It was just red. Season, out of season, every time you go to church. Whenever you have time. If somebody cannot go to morning service, go to evening service. People are dying without God and without Christ. This is our time to tell other people about Jesus Christ. So keep the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So he says, why I was running my race? Because I want my crown. The crown of righteousness. And who is giving? The righteous God will give. Let me read. The crown of righteousness. So who is going to get it? St. Paul says, I'm not selfish person that I need a crown. He says, I'm going to get the crown of righteousness. And the righteous judge will give it to me. But it's not me alone. Each and everyone who wants Jesus Christ to come back. I just said a few minutes ago, how many people are ready to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, then you should be looking for Jesus to come. You don't have to die to go to heaven. Do you know that? Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. So if you don't want to die, then what do you want to do? Jesus comes soon. When he comes and when we are alive, we'll be transformed. You don't have to die. So that's why we have to be ready. When Jesus comes, you don't have to die. That's a good thing, isn't it? You don't have to see death. You don't have to see the pain and suffering. So be ready and waiting upon Jesus Christ to come. Some people, when they are really suffering, say, Lord, when are you going to come? And when they're getting better, don't come today. I have to meet my girlfriend. I have to have some business. I'm busy now. Don't come today. We have to be ready all the time. He says, Jesus Christ is going to give you the crown of righteousness. I made a study for the crowns. There are several other crowns. There are five crowns. We don't have time to tell you. But each and every believer will get some kind of crown. And so be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Read from 9 to 11.
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry.
Now St. Paul is saying, please come, and come shortly, come quickly. We're saying, most of the people, they left me. And he says, Demas left me for the present world. That means Demas is not thinking about the world to come, but his eyes in a worldly thing. And so many people left me, even the believers, and certain people went to the ministry. But he says, with me, just the Luke. Do you know who Luke was? Luke was the medical doctor. Now somebody saying, oh, because Paul is sick or maybe weak, that's why the Luke is with him, taking care of him. No, Paul was never sick. He never complained about sickness and disease. Last week we learned, he says, God delivered me from all my problems. So if the sickness and disease is the problem, he was delivered. No problem. Here also we will see God is saying he is delivered. And then he says, bring with you a mark. Do you know Mark is the relative of Barnabas? Barnabas and Paul were working together. And one time, the Mark said to Paul and Barnabas, I'm not coming with you because so persecution was coming and Mark was a young man. And so he left. And so then he came back and Barnabas says, I'm going to take Mark with me and let's take him to our journey. Paul said, no. Let's read that in Acts chapter 15. Start reading from verse 31. So point I'm making, sometimes the young people wants to do something for the Lord and they're excited, and sometimes they want to do whatever they want to do. Paul said, I don't want those kind of people. I want steady-minded people. Acts chapter 15, starting from verse 37 to 41.
And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
Now here, they would disagree. Barnabas was very friendly with Paul. And Barnabas says, okay, if you don't take Mark, I'm not coming with you. So the Barnabas and Mark went one way, Paul and Silas went another way. But now, Paul is saying, take Mark and bring him. What happened? Mark did not backslidden. Mark started working for the Lord. And then Paul saw this young man, not young man anymore. He says, he's very good, profitable to me. What does it mean? That man start working and proving to Paul and other people, I'm not a backslidden. I am serving the Lord. I was young and I was afraid of all these people, but now I study the Word of God. Now I'm strong and healthy spiritually, and I can help Paul. So he said, bring Mark with you. And so sometimes you get discouraged in the ministry. Some kind of trials and problem comes, but don't give up. What I'm trying to say, one day you see the person is not spiritual, is not helpful. Another day you will see that person helpful. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, start reading from verse 12.
And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
So now St. Paul is saying, even though everybody left me, and nobody was with me, and he says one man's name is given, Alexander the coppersmith. This man followed Paul everywhere to destroy him. He was a businessman. And so he did so much harm to St. Paul. So he said, be careful, be watchful. That man still around. But he says, God will take care of him. We don't have to do any harm to him. God will take care of him. Many people left. But he says, God never left me. The word of God says in book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. He says, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And Jesus Christ says, I will be with you until the end of the age. So God is always with us. Sometimes your loved ones will forsake you. But God will never. And then he says, God delivered me out of the mouth of lion. Who are those lions? Not the regular lion. The people who want to destroy him. God delivered him and protected him from each and every situation. Same God is here to help us. Verse 18.
And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, now remember this. In this scripture, many prophecy teachers will tell you, Jesus Christ is coming, we will have 1,000-year reign, and we will be living in this world will never finish, and we are going to live for here eternity. How they are wrong, I'll prove it to from this word. He says, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. He is not thinking earthly kingdom. He wants to be here for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years we live on earth eternity. He says, I am going to go to heavenly kingdom. So the kingdom of this world, Jesus Christ comes, establish the kingdom for this world for 1,000 years. After that, his headquarters going to change from earth to heaven. So just like the America's headquarters was Philadelphia, now is Washington. But the same government. The same way we will be living in 1,000 years for this world. And then in 1,000 years finishes, the great white throne judgment is done. We are going to go to heaven. And heaven is our place, not earth. So we should be ready. In Matthew chapter 6, our God is in heaven. We're going to go to meet God in heaven. And he says, when you will go there, he will wipe out your tears. We're going to heaven. We are not going to stay on earth. If you're listening to those prophecy preachers, just cancel that thing what they're saying. Okay, let's read following verses.
Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeted thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen.
Now he gives all the greetings to his people, but one sad thing he's saying. One brother, what is his name? Trophimus. Now one that Trophimus, he left sick man. Now somebody says, why he cannot heal that man? Sometimes sickness and disease and problem comes to everyone, believers and unbelievers. But each and every person is individual. Some person when they get a little bit headache, they ignore headache and they keep on working. And somebody got a headache, they will lie down in bed and take a rest. So we don't know what kind of this brother is, but he said, I'm not going to sit down with him until he gets better. He left him in the hand of God and said, let me do the Lord's work. And so he says, what we need, in the last word he says, what we need the grace of God. Each and every problem we're going through, we cannot do it alone. We need God. He says, you know, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. If your spirit is strong, your body will be strong. If you are spiritually weak, you cannot handle any sickness and disease or any pain or any problems. What you need, your spirit should be enrolled with God's spirit and tuned with the God. So you will be one with God, and the word of God says, my grace is what? Sufficient in each and every situation. And so Paul said, God delivered me out of all my problems. He delivered me out of the mouth of lion. The same God can deliver you and me if we have the grace of God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Give us your grace and your mercy and your kindness so we can overcome all our sickness, disease, and pain. Give us grace to keep our eyes on you because you are coming very soon. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.